Well, hello and welcome to worship from St. James, West Streatham, on this, the first Sunday in May. Peace be with you. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether you're here in church watching this on the big screen or whether you're joining us from home. Thank you so much for gathering together in worship today. Psalm 111 says this: "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Praise the Lord." We come together to worship God this morning because his works are great. And as we ponder them, we delight in them, we take joy and pleasure in them. We come together because his deeds are glorious and majestic, and because his righteousness never, ever comes to an end. So, Lord God, we thank you so much for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us through the night. We thank you, Lord, that you neither slumber nor sleep, that you constantly are awake and watching over your people. Lord, thank you that your deeds are glorious and majestic, that your righteousness endures forever, that it's higher than the mountains and deeper than the oceans. Lord, thank you that all of that is seen most clearly in your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who fills us with power and joy from on high. Lord, we pray now, wherever we are today, that you would bind us together in the name of Jesus, and that you'd so fill us with joy that we might give you the worship and the praise that you deserve, that we might worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that this week may be different because we've been in your presence today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn now to our Bible reading, which this morning is from Joshua chapter 2 and verses 1 to 21. And Rocky and Arlene are going to read that for us, I think from the King James version of the Bible. So prepare yourselves for this. Rocky and Arlene, take it away.
This morning's reading is taken from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord Since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my Father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.
Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest pursuer meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuer be returned. And afterwards may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of thine oaths, which thou art made us swear. Behold, we come unto the land. Thou shalt bind the line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou did let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door of the house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless, and whatsoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. If any hands be upon him, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of things of thine oath which thou art made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Rocky and Arlene, for bringing that reading to us. And if you've got a Bible there with you, please do turn to Joshua chapter 2, because we'll need that for these next few moments together in God's Word. Well, some of you may know the story of the man who fell off the edge of a cliff. And as he was falling, plummeting to his death, he just managed to reach out and grab hold of a tree root that was sticking out of the cliff face. So there he is, hanging on by one hand, slowly slipping down, dangling over the abyss. And he found himself instinctively praying for the first time for many years. He said, oh God, if you're up there, please save me now, and I'll serve you the rest of my life. And into the silence came the still, small whisper of God, saying, let go of the root. I will catch you. You just have to have faith. To which the man replied, is there anybody else up there? Well, this morning we begin a new series entitled Faith in the Fire, a Great Cloud of Witnesses. We're going to be exploring over these next few months the lives of some of the characters of the Old Testament whose faith was tried and toughened in the fiery furnace of affliction and adversity. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament devotes a whole chapter of his letter, chapter 11, to some of these ordinary Old Testament heroes of faith. And the point of his chapter is not to lionize them, but to present them as ordinary examples to inspire us ordinary folk. A great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we run the race of life that God has marked out for us. A race that will often take us through deep, dark valleys. That we sometimes find ourselves in the fire is no accident. The Apostle Peter, writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 in the New Testament, tells us that these fiery trials that all of us go through a part of God's purposeful providence for us, that our faith, which is more precious than gold, may be proven and purified and may ultimately result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ returns. And so we begin today, at the start of this series, with the great Old Testament character of Rahab. We first meet Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 in our text today. She lived in Jericho, officially the oldest city in the world, located in the Jordan Valley, a few miles down the Wadi Kelt from Jerusalem. At the time, Jericho was a Canaanite city. God had delivered his people Israel from slavery in Egypt, and after 40 years in the wilderness, they were now massed on the far side of the River Jordan, opposite Jericho, preparing to enter the promised land according to the promise of God. Joshua had succeeded Moses as leader of the Israelites, and we read in chapter 2, verse 1, at the beginning of our text today, that Joshua sent two spies across the river to check out the land, paying special attention to Jericho, the first city the Israelites would come to when they invaded. 40 years earlier, just a few weeks after the Exodus from Egypt, the Israelites were on the verge of entering the Promised Land at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Moses sent 12 spies into the land, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And when they came back, they were united in their assessment that the Promised Land was an amazing place. They brought back some of the fruit of that land, a bunch of grapes that were the size of footballs, so big they had to carry them on a pole between two men. But 10 of the 12 spies said, "We can never go into that land, because the people and the cities are just too powerful for us." While 2 of the 12 spies said, "We can surely do it, because God is with us." The majority of the Israelites voted with the 10 rather than the 2. And 40 years of wandering in the wilderness followed, going nowhere and doing nothing for a whole generation. After 40 years, the entire population of adults who had come out of Egypt in the Exodus had died in the desert, except for 2 men, the 2 faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua. Isn't it interesting that now, in chapter 2, in our text today, as once again the Israelites are on the verge of the Promised Land, 40 years later, Joshua is now the leader of the people, and he only sends not 12, but 2 spies into the land to check out Jericho, no doubt recalling his experience with Caleb 40 years earlier. Well, the 2 spies cross the river. They enter the city of Jericho secretly, and they take lodgings in the home of Rahab, whose house was located on the city walls. And so Rahab finds herself with these 2 guests in the fire. And amazingly, she responds with faith. I want us to notice 4 things about faith in the example of Rahab today. The first is this: the risk of faith. The risk of faith. Someone once said, faith is a 4-letter word spelled R-I-S-K, risk. Now, of course, God never takes risks, because God always knows what the outcome of his actions will be. He's not a gambler. He can't be. But whilst we do know that God is in charge of our lives and always works all things together for good, from our finite perspective, we don't know exactly what the outcome of our actions will be. We don't know exactly what the future will be. So for us, faith always
involves risk. And it certainly did for Rahab in at least three ways. It was a risk for Rahab to take the two enemy spies into her home. They could have killed her. It was a risk for Rahab to make a deal with them and to trust that they would keep their word and save her family when the Israelites invaded. It was a risk to effectively become a collaborator when she was economical with the truth, when the Jericho soldiers knocked on her door later that night looking for the spies. Though she'd hidden them on the roof, she told the soldiers that they'd already left and sent them off in the wrong direction. Not only her life, but that of her extended family was well and truly on the line. For Rahab, faith was spelled R-I-S-K. And it will be for us too, as it was in a dramatic way for a family of Iranian believers, Tahir, Donya, and their two daughters. Let's watch this brief video. What an incredible story. Donya, the wife and mother of that family, said this: "In our house church, we used to sing, 'I surrender all.' And we always asked each other, 'Are you ready and willing to surrender everything in faith to Jesus?' As the secret police tore through our house, I told the Lord, 'Yes, I'm ready to surrender everything in faith to you.'" The risk of faith. Then second, the reason for faith. What was it that caused this Canaanite woman to have such faith in a God she didn't know and had never worshipped? Jericho, or Jericho, means house of the moon, and its residents would have been moon worshippers. The moon was their god. In the city, they would have built a tall tower called a ziggurat, a bit like the Tower of Babel. At the top of that ziggurat, the city priest would have offered prayers and sacrifices to the moon on behalf of the rest of the citizens of Jericho. But as an expression of Rahab's amazing new faith, she tells the spies in chapter 2, verse 11, "The Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." In your Bible, like mine, the word Lord is probably in capital letters, capital L-O-R-D. And whenever we see Lord in capital letters in our Bible, it's the personal name for God, Yahweh, I am. And Rahab sees that Yahweh, the great I am, the God of Israel, is not some small city or tribal god like the gods of the Canaanites. He is God in heaven above, not the moon, and he is God on the earth below. What a confession of faith from a moon worshipper. How had she come to such a conclusion? Well, she tells us that she had heard of all the amazing saving exploits of Yahweh on behalf of his people, and she wanted herself and her family to be on his side and to be part of his people, Israel. Look at verse 10. "We have heard how the Lord, Yahweh, dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you." And she says in verse 12, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. So the risk of faith, the reason for faith, thirdly, the response of faith, the response of faith. Jesus' brother James tells us in the New Testament that faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead, like a body without breath. Real biblical faith must always lead to action. It must do something. For Rahab, faith meant gathering her extended family in her little home on the city walls and tying a scarlet cord in her window as a sign to the Israelite invaders. Look at verse 17. Now the men said to Rahab, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land, and you've tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house." Then verse 21, "Agreed," she replied, "let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and as they departed, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Her faith led to action. And surely that scarlet cord was an echo of the scarlet blood of the Passover lamb daubed on the door frames and the lintels of Israelite homes in Egypt at the time of the Exodus, saving them from God's judgment and death. By tying that scarlet cord in her window, Rahab and her family would also be saved from God's judgment and death. And they were indeed saved, as you can read in chapter 6 of Joshua. And what did the blood of the Passover lamb and the scarlet cord point ahead to? Why, the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for us on the cross, by which all who exercise the faith of Rahab are saved, as she was, from God's judgment and eternal death. Which leads us to our fourth and final point today. The risk of faith, the reason for faith, the response of faith, and finally, the ripple of faith. The ripple of faith. You see, faith can have consequences far beyond anything you and I could ever imagine. When we practice biblical faith, like Rahab, ripples go out to touch lives and circumstances wider and deeper than we could ever dream. Rahab was saved when Jericho was invaded, and she joined the people of Israel. She married a man called Salmon. Salmon and Rahab had a son called Boaz, and they settled as a family in the village of Bethlehem. Boaz married a Moabite called Ruth, and they had a son called Obed. Obed and his wife had a son called Jesse, and Jesse and his wife had 8 sons, the youngest of whom was David, in whose line, hundreds of years later, the Messiah, Jesus, would be born. It's not too grand a thing to say that the faith of Rahab led to the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. Rahab is listed in the family tree of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. Jesus, the Passover lamb, whose scarlet cord would pay for our sins and save us from death. And through faith in him, we too, though outsiders like Rahab and like Ruth, are grafted in to the Messiah's family tree. The risk of faith, it may cost us everything. the reason for faith, we have heard of the mighty saving acts of God. The response of faith, faith always leads to action. We have to do something with our faith. And the ripple of faith, your faith may just touch the lives of people round about you and people generations beyond you in a way you could never, ever dream. Let's pray. Lord God, as we begin this new sermon series, Faith in the Fire, we recognize that the race you've marked out for us may sometimes take us into the fire. Lord, when I see people in this sermon series who were literally in the fire. But Lord, we thank you that you don't abandon us at that moment. But actually you have in your mysterious will planned those moments for us, that our faith may be toughened and tested and come out stronger on the other side. Lord, thank you for Rahab. Thank you for her extraordinary faith, putting her faith in a God she did not know and had never worshipped. Lord, thank you that she became part of the Messiah's family tree. Thank you that her faith eventually led to the birth of Jesus. Lord, help us to put our faith today in him, to walk the same path that Rahab walked, that our faith too may be tested and toughened this week in whatever circumstances you take us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you, upon those you love and pray for this day and until Jesus comes again, and our faith will finally be sight, and we will see him and be with him forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.